Technorama episode 319 for September 28, 2011, The Eagle Has Landed. Warning, listening to Technorama may exclude you from future jury duty, job interviews, organ donations, or space missions. Listener discretion is advised.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Okay, you're so smart. You tell me where that UR satellite came down.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for September 28, 2011. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. In other words, we scrub the internet for all the best news stories, and all we come up with is soap scum.
Yeah, we're like the scrubbing bubbles.
We scrub all right. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Confabulated.
Retro confabulators? We haven't heard that term in a long time.
Actually, and when, as soon as I said that, I went through my head, too. That's scary.
I was actually thinking of our old intro, not more than, like, yesterday.
You should have played it.
Oh, man. We'll have to have a retro show for our own show sometime.
That's right.
Use the old theme. Hey, quick note about the Parsec Awards before we get into this. Julie now has her own copy of the Parsec Award. There's a 5-inch model sitting in her dorm room. She got that, and we had a Skype call Friday night. We had a nice video conference. How you doing? How are classes? She goes, oh, Dad, I got something. She didn't know I ordered it and sent it. Mm-hmm. She says, look what showed up. I said, oh, that's cool. You deserve it. She showed it to one of the guys in the dorm, and he went, Technorama, I think I've heard that before. And her response was, wow, I didn't think real people listened to that. I guess none of our listeners are real people, whatever that means.
Nah, if you're a real person, why don't you speak up for yourself and email us?
Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have... What have we got? How to cover that new car smell. Can bubble wrap really save your life? And we talked to a man who was associated with the fallen URs. All that more coming right up.
And no, it's not his fault.
Technorama, the podcast for geeks. Because geeks are better than cool. You don't hear someone say, get away from me, you cool person. Who's gonna have their 65-inch home theater system installed by the cool squad? Not me, that's for sure. How much cool cred do you have? Not enough to care about. Think you'll find any canned unicorn meat at thinkcool.com? It's just a park domain name. They don't even have roadkill in a paper cup. That's why you need to start listening to Technorama, because that's what geeks do. Go to chuckchat.com and listen to Technorama before you turn cool.
This is Brett Thacker, formerly Division Chief of the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
If you listen to Technorama, you'll never be the same again. So please, share with a friend, and it's kind of like a zombie-pocalypse.
Zombie-pocalypse?
Yeah.
How so?
If one person bites another, they turn into a zombie? Well, if you tell someone about Technorama, you'll infect their brain, and they'll be going around,
binary high five.
Hey, no biting.
All right, let's give a shout-out to the chat room. We have a live chat room going on every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. We'd love to see you there while we're live streaming. We always encourage you. Oh, my, we have a lot of people here this week. We have 80 Polka on the 45. That was hard to say because there's vowels together. We have Bear Cub, Ben Vaughn, Brother Red, See My Bologna, Claudio M., Dare to Be Stupid Craig. Deb Drup Grew, I lost on T. Elliot. I think I'm a Marv now. I, Ben Reed, Null Remembers Larry. Pokemon, I think people are jumping around in here, changing their... Susie Like a Surgeon, and ZML and Nerdy. Hey, ZML is alive and well in the chat room.
He did change his name.
So, if you didn't guess it already, the theme this week is Weird Al songs, because right before the show started, we do a little pre-show. I'm around a half hour, 45 minutes before streaming, just chatting, making banter, putting the last of the show touches on, and we played Weird Al's Stop Forwarding That Crap to Me. It's ironic because he keeps passing that song to other people. You gotta hear this song!
It's gone viral. Now, you know what's funny is we have a family member that sends us emails like that all the time, and all the time, the first thing I do is go look at Snopes.
Absolutely. You know,
and, you know, even if it looks a little questionable, I'm like, I go look Snopes, there it is. And she even told him, will you please check Snopes first? Well, during the video, I almost fell out of my chair because he says something about without getting your hopes.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get you a subscription to Snopes. Yeah.
And she saw that and was like, that was awesome.
Isn't that nice?
I like the wordplay as the video is moving around with the words.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It gives it more of an internet-y feeling. So if you haven't seen that, go look for...
It's like the words itself is a character in the video.
All right, checking the birthday calendar, we have October 1st, which happens to be 101, pointed out by yes. Stephen Weshey. Happy birthday from St. Louis, Missouri. Stephen pointed out that we ought to make that a Technorama holiday.
Hey, actually, that would be 10111.
Ouch. Yeah, because last year was 10101. That was 42 in binary, but we... So this would be 44.
44.
Yeah, because we added two to
it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. No, 43. I thought we added a two. We added a one. Okay, sorry. Wrong bit position. Moving on. October 2nd, I thought I saw a two, is Adam Rumke's birthday. He's born on 1002.
Nice.
No, October 10th was 101010. That was 42. Okay, never mind. Anyway, 101, we're going to make it. It's kind of like 314 is Pi Day. We're going to make 101 Technorama Day.
Technorama Day.
Tell everybody. We'll just go viral on that day with tweets and things.
Like Technoramadon?
No, that's... we'll get into that later.
Okay.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar, if it happens to be your birthday, first of all, happy birthday to you this week. If you're not on the birthday calendar, put it on there. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name on the birthday calendar. We'll give you a shout out when we can. And join us, like I said, every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern on the live stream and chat room. We'd love to see you there. Quick, before we go into On This Day in History, one last thing. We have a follow-up tweet from Mike Hall about the superhero name. Remember our formula was whatever color top you're wearing plus the thing immediately to your right? He says, according to your formula, my superhero name would be the Black Android Tablet.
I like that.
Ooh. It's better than the yellow sticky note.
What happens if you're wearing tie-dye?
You're the psychedelic mouse pad. I don't know.
Psychedelic Android tablet.
The psychedelic water bottle. On this day in history for September 28th, 2011, it was on this day in 1542 that navigator João Rodrigues Cabrillo of Portugal arrives at what is now San Diego, California.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it's not.
And also today in 1928, Sir Alexander Fleming notices the bacteria killing mold growing in his laboratory, discovering what later became known as penicillin.
Watson, come here. Try this sandwich. But I'm feeling much better. CBS makes its first color televisions available for sale to the public on this date in 1951, but the product is discontinued less than a month later.
I told you that color TV would never catch on. Bah!
3D's next. And it was today in 2008 that SpaceX launches its first ever private spacecraft, the Falcon 1, into orbit.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Chinese philosopher Confucius, born today in 551 BC.
And also born today in 1605, French astronomer Ismael Bolidalis.
Close enough. French chemist and Nobel Prize laureate Henri Moissan was born today in 1852.
And the man who discovered gamma rays, Dr. Bruce Banner. No, wait.
No.
French chemist, physicist Paul Ulrich Villard, born today in 1860.
Bruce Banner just ate him for lunch.
No, Hulk did.
Television host Ed Sullivan would have been 110 if he were alive today. That would have been a really big shoe.
Yes, it would. And Soviet spy Ethel Rosenberg was born today in 1915.
The man behind the Cray supercomputers was born today in 1925. Happy birthday to Seymour Cray.
And American R&B singer Benny King turned 73.
And finally, singer and actress, daughter of Frank Zappa, Moon Unit Zappa, turns 44.
Wow.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 28th, 2011.
Nobodies.
He's whispering again. It must be important.
Yeah.
All right, from the Department of Ridiculous, how much bubble wrap would it take to save your life from falling 60 meters? 60 meters is like 180 feet, 190 feet.
Yeah.
Would you jump off of a 19-story building wrapped in bubble wrap? Oh, my. This is just ludicrous and ridiculous.
The picture looks like a... It looks like Ralphie's brother.
I was thinking it looked like Adam Savage.
No, I mean, it looks like
Ralphie. I can't put my arms down.
You'll be all right. Now, see, if he jumped off a bridge, he'd be okay. And he's got reason to.
I bet you never actually sat down and worked through the physics to figure out how much bubble wrap it would take. Well, that's where Wired's Rhett Allen comes in. With the help of some physics and a little math, Allen considered factors like bubble wrap thickness, density, and spring constant to calculate, with the help of some experimentation, what did he throw dogs off the roof? Just how many layers of air cushion goodness you need to jump off a building and walk away unscathed.
Let's see if we can teach these brutals how to fly.
According to Allen, I'm going with 39 layers of bubble wrap. I wonder, was he using the small ones or the big ones? Should you actually do this? No, don't do this. Well, I guess you could do this if you're a dummy or something. One more quick question. I wonder how much bubble wrap you would need to survive jumping out of a plane. You might not need too much more, since all that bubble wrap would slow your terminal speed down. Well, that's interesting.
Hmm.
Well, in the end, maybe you shouldn't jump on the bubble wrap like we do at the Parsec Awards. It might be useful someday.
I think it's funny that his head's still exposed. A little design flaw there.
He put on a bubble helmet. What do you expect?
Hey, boys and girls. Today we're going to teach turtles how to... Oh, what does it say? Turtles are nature's suction cups.
Moving on.
Okay.
So. Hacks and strange stories. First up in the hacks and strange stories, you know that new car smell, how some people just don't like that new car smell.
Yeah.
Well, we have a clever alternative we found over here at Technorama. It's called the new toast smell. You can... There's some... interesting new air fresheners out there, aside from new car smell or
new toast
pine
smell.
Forest. Right. There's toast, macaroni and cheese, buttered popcorn. I'm thinking bacon is right up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
What other air freshener scents could you think of that might be interesting? Now, French toast over just regular toast would be good.
Dog dirt.
No. No. No.
Take a whiff of that.
Well, now, if you sold the toaster one and it smelled like dog dirt, that would be funny.
What kind of toaster are you eating? This stinks.
No, people pull this out and they see the little pine tree hanging there. And all of a sudden, whoa!
Yeah.
Did you, like, let one go?
I don't know. The toast one I don't quite get. Bacon. No, you know, whenever we cook bacon here in the house, Kim can't stand it because the house smells like bacon for a little while. You know, just kind of residue in the air. You know what I'm saying?
Friday night fish fry.
That sounds good. When are we
going? That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one. All right. From the other hack and...
Hack and sack stories.
Hacks and strange stories. Oh, I didn't put a picture up here. I missed it. Gizmodo had a story about a motorized blender. Not just any motorized, like, will it blend? This guy's got an old 1958 Johnson outboard motor. You know, the kind you strap on the back of your boat?
Sure.
Yeah, he hooked one of those up to a blender. Woo-wee.
What is he making, margaritas?
He said, I start on the back of a boat. Now that's a booze cruise. I started this project with a 1958 Johnson outboard motor and removed all the original motor and drive gears. The blender is now powered by a Homelite two-cycle motor. Aww!
What?
That takes all the fun out of it. I use the original tiller handle to operate the throttle, and the original choke lever operates the choke. What, do you set the choke for puree, chops? I don't know. The motor is rubber-mounted, and the custom exhaust system exits out the bottom of the housing to a Honda generator muffled to keep the sound muffled. Yeah, because you know how loud outboard motors are when they're not in the water? Well, first of all, they burn up because they need the water to cool them off. So I just, this is, you know, right up there with the classic Hacks and Strange Stories, making a blender out of a Johnson.
Hey, whoa, that didn't sound good. Sorry. I'm sorry, a little toilet humor there.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Will it blend? Da 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 da.
In this case, yes, the blender turns on.
Let's see. Let me guess the drink. He made...
Looks like he's making orange juice.
He used Bacardi rum, the coconut rum. I don't know, but it sure does look good. I'll take it.
Hey, you know what? The Mercury Mercruiser factory is just down the road in Fond du Lac. I'll bet I could build a bigger one.
You know what would be really cool? Is if you had a deck out back or like with a little wet bar. And on the edge of the wet bar, you put this. You mount the motor on there. See? That would look cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
Hmm.
Or if you had a boating store.
Yeah. And a bar. A boating store and bar.
Funny you should mention that, because there used to be a bar called Boat Drinks. up in Marquette. It might still be there.
Might be. You have to go investigate.
All right. Back in the good old days. Remember the good old days?
Yeah.
When music was on cassettes.
Yeah.
When you got your feet x-rayed at the shoe store.
What? Oh, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What?
Most of us, you know, figured out how our feet fit from the Brannick device. That's that little silver thing with the oval, and you say, oh, it's a size 12, and you're a D width.
Yeah, wait, that's what it's called? I didn't know that's what it was called.
Hey, you learn something new every day on Technorama. Today's your day. A Brannick device. Look it up.
All right. Well, who's next?
Once upon a time... Well, history contains many examples of medical functions performed by frighteningly unqualified people. Barbers were once also dentists. Did you know that?
Barbers?
Yes.
As in haircutting barbers? What?
The red and white on the barber pole signifies the blood and bandages.
Oh, that's the dentist I want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whoever was the oldest lady in the village was also a midwife, and x-rays were shot through children's feet by the shoe store attendants.
Hmm.
Wow. Did they give you the lead apron?
Would I mean, I've heard of the x-ray machines out in public like that, but to see where their feet lie in the shoes.
And they dusted their kids with DDT. Wonderful people, those people, the 19s and 30s and 40s.
Well, wait a minute. I'm thinking, you know, now we just mash the shoes until you find the end of their toe.
Well, those people of the 1930s and 40s also had an unhealthy fascination with radiation. People put radium in health tonics, foods, and toothpaste. They boiled themselves under UV lamps. They used, well, we still do that today. They used radiation to mutate garden vegetables. So when they found a way to check the fits of the shoe, and all it took was shooting an x-ray through child's foot, naturally they jumped on it. Hey, it fits, right? Your toe is at the end. I can see your toes wiggling.
Hey, look, these pants fit.
The good old days. The fluoroscope was originally invented for legitimate medical purposes. Injured soldiers during World War I who needed special fits in their boots could be accommodated more quickly if the person fitting them could see what is happening under the leather of the shoes. Oh, so they started in the army, like all good experiments.
Yeah, well, what happens if you have a steel-toe shoe?
Then Superman can't see your toes wiggling.
Yeah, it was Lex Luthor's little secret. He just didn't share with anybody. He just knew it.
Not a good time.
Superman can't see my toes wiggling.
All right. For some more fun, we have a Best Buy.
That would be lead, by the way.
Wait, where is it? I got it. There you go. Are you happy now? Can we move on?
Let's get the lead out.
Let's move on. We have an ad from 1996. Mm-hmm. Now, it's funny because this last week I was telling somebody just how far we've come in 1996 from technology standpoint. It's only 15 years ago, but man, have things changed fast.
Have they?
They have.
I think I'm still having some of the same frustrations that I've had.
Can you fix my computer?
Well, except for floppy drives, but yeah.
Now, the Motorola flip phone, not the Razr, the flip phone was like the creme de la creme. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Free with activation required. But for $9.99, you could get the Panasonic brick phone or the Motorola, I don't know what this one was. It looks like an extra large battery. I love the memory prices in here. 4 meg upgrade. 4 meg. Now, I remember when 4 meg was like a couple hundred bucks. It's down to $29.99 here. Or $129.99 for a 16 meg memory upgrade. Ooh.
Hey, I was going to say, you can take that same ad today, swap the MB with a GB, and it's almost applicable today.
Could you get 4 gig for $30?
You might. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you could. Either an SD card or a thumb drive, too.
Yes. That's for sure.
Here's one you can't substitute. The 180 megahertz power PC Macintosh. With the 603E processor. 1.6 gigabyte hard drive, which was actually pretty big. 16 meg of memory. 8-speed CD-ROM. 16-bit stereo audio. A 288 data/14.4 fax modem.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's fun.
Preloaded with System 7.5, ClarisWorks, Apple Internet Connect Kit, and more. For the low, low price, with a 15-inch 0.28 multi-scan. I remember dot pitch on the monitors.
On the monitor. You know, it's funny because how things have changed in the monitor space, because now we were watching a movie the other day and I saw a CRT and I went, it actually caught me off guard. And you notice the CRTs now, you know, as opposed to seeing, oh, look, you got a flat screen, you know.
Well, you want to see a dandy, well, all this for the low, low price of $23.99.99. Mm-hmm. You want to see a dandy. We were watching Crocodile Dundee last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, she works for the newspaper. What a piece of hardware that was on her desk.
Holy cow. We weren't watching that movie, but we watched something and they were in the newsroom and everybody had the thick CRTs on their desk.
It was like a 9-inch screen, but a 9-inch thick keyboard, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a monster.
The other thing you can't match on here to nowadays is the pager.
Yeah. You know what? Doctors still carry pagers.
Yeah, and I have a sneaking suspicion is because it's on a different, you know, band, so maybe it's more reliable than a cell.
Than maybe.
A text message or something.
I'm frankly surprised they're still around, but they are still around.
Yeah. I've seen a few here and there. Still, some people wear them, but you know, for a long time, I was dying to want one. I thought I really wanted one.
Oh no, you don't! I had one for IT work,
and when I got it, I was like, that wear off. You know, it wears off after about 2 weeks of having one.
Yeah, I had a voice pager. It wasn't even a digital thing like this. It was just a voice pager, so it'd go beep 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 beep.
A track call extension 3311.
And that's all you'd get. You couldn't. So you'd have to carry a phone anyway to call them back.
Yeah, I know. That's terrible. Hey, by the way, speaking of communications, I got to bring this up. At our den meeting last week, you know, I'm heading up to scout our den, the den leaders, I should say. Well, in our den, we were talking about communications, which is one of the part of the requirements, you know, getting your Weeblos badge. Well, I started off talking about communication, and there's different ways you can communicate. One of them was I was trying to get across was verbal, you know, not that they didn't realize that, but I was like, what are some of the barriers to communications? And one of the kids said, going through a tunnel. It's like, yeah, I'm not talking about signal. I'm talking about
re-entering the atmosphere.
Yeah,
going behind the moon.
Fun. Yeah, one goes, I was going to say trees, like the forest. I was like, oh, no, we're going in the wrong direction. Let's reel us back here. But, yeah, it was kind of fun to talk to them about that. Tunnel.
Kids are funny.
All the adults were laughing.
All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Media Corner. And we've got a special interview coming up towards the end of the show with a man from used to be involved in some way, shape, or form with the URs that
came crashing
down. Well,
now it sounds so dramatic. Thanks, Chuck.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
This is Technorama, the show that is sure to get your brain going faster than Warp 10.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
I'm sorry. The first thing up in the media corner is, you know those little Taiwanese animated things they do like for news events?
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have actual footage, but let's make an animated video to go with it. Well, this one was... from Facebook, this last week they had their F8 conference, and during the conference they were announcing some of the newer things that were, you know, the features they were releasing. Well,
yeah,
I started watching this little video, and it's like there's a loss in translation kind of thing going on here. This guy's running, and it has Facebook all over the ground, and there's like a little poke symbol. He's running.
Was it
from
the poke or was it the like? I thought it was running from the like thumbs.
I think that's the poke. No, the thumbs would go up. But yeah, he's running from the pokes, and he looks like he just committed a crime. He's trying to get away from the Matrix.
Actually, it really was a bizarre video.
It is a bizarre video, and even the likeness of Mark Zuckerberg doesn't look like him. But what was funny is they kind of relate it. They talk about the timeline and how the new timeline profile page looks, and even later, then they show a guy standing there on the street and losing his clothes, and because they're giving permission to, you know, for these apps to post on your wall.
Yep.
And then a little farther down, they have the Matrix references there, where you wake up in the Matrix and you come down the tube, and there's a Morpheus looking guy with the red pill. Actually, they're multicolored pills. One's like Google colored. Look, I just saw that. One's Google colored, has red, blue, green, and red, and the other one's all blue.
Very creative.
But this thing is hilarious.
Go check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes. It is funny. You got to see it.
I do like it when he comes out of he's ejected out of a little pod like in the Matrix, you know, and he falls down and there's skulls everywhere and there's like Google Plus.
All right, I think Mr. Anthony Herrera gets the Father of the Year award.
Yeah.
This guy photoshopped in Ewoks into a picture of his daughter to prove they were real. They're way in the background, but you can see them. In Herrera's words, being the Star Wars geek that I am, and so is she, his daughter, I told her that this is where the Ewoks live. So they went to this place to take this picture. She spent a good chunk of our time hiking, keeping a lookout for any Ewoks. Coming home, I can't say that she wasn't disappointed and that we didn't find any. I had to explain that they are extremely shy and hardly ever let anyone see them. After we got home, and after I had a little time alone with the photos...
Yet they'll appear in movies.
Well, it's because Lucas pays him. I told her that I thought I saw something strange in a few pictures. We viewed them on the TV to get a larger image. You can imagine how surprised and excited she was when we discovered that we didn't see any Ewoks, but they saw us. And it's certainly taken an interest in her and her little brother. See, he photoshopped them into the background.
It's like this one's hanging out behind a bush.
Maybe I'm a little wrong for lying to her and falsifying the pictures, but I don't care. She'll never forget the time she spent in the big woods with the Ewoks.
You want to really scar your kids? Photoshop Jar Jar in there.
And I will be there shooting him.
See, he's not above lying to his children for a little link love on the internet.
Honestly, how is that any different than Santa Claus?
What do you mean?
Telling your kids about Santa for years and years, making them believe, and then they find out later that they're not.
Santa's not?
See, she can't disprove those Ewoks were not there.
What, Santa's not real?
Spoiler alert.
He's alive in all of us.
Yeah, okay. And so are the Ewoks. But not Jar Jar. All right. Good. I have a What the Chuck.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Actually, I have two, but I'm only going to cover one, and I'll glance over the other one as my backup plan.
Okay.
I always have backup plans. What the Chuck comes from the Daily What, kind of interestingly enough. Variety is reporting that the CW, that's a television show over here in the U.S., or television channel, clearly scraping the bottom of the suggestion box, is developing a new game show called Extreme Musical Chairs. Which will be like musical chairs, only extreme. What does that mean? Series would transform the popular children's game into physically demanding competition with multiple rounds of elimination sets in an indoor obstacle course, says Variety. All I can think of is, what was that show? The one with the Chinese guys that were overdubbed, or the Japanese guys? Most Extreme Challenge?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
They're going to be running an obstacle course, and they have to sit on a chair. What's next? Extreme house cleaning?
Extreme pickup sticks.
Pin the tail on the donkey. It's live.
Live donkey.
Please, no. I'm losing more and more respect for the producers every day.
Extreme. Spin the bottle.
Okay. I will admit, if this is on and I am channel surfing, I will check it out, but I am not making a point to stop and...
and report back. Put that on your DVR.
If it makes it to the actual channel, they're developing a game show called Extreme Musical Chairs.
Here's the new barometer of whether you're going to watch something or not. Is it worth my CPU cycles on my DVR?
is it worth the hard drive space?
Yeah.
No.
The answer, don't. Yes. Hit record. If no, don't.
I'd like to see TiVo swivel search that one. I think my head would swivel.
Hey, do you use your suggestions on TiVo?
No.
I turned mine off a long time ago.
All right, my backup plan. I just got to throw this up on the screen for a sec. Oops, I forgot the picture of the most extreme there. There's the musical chairs. Also on the still store... apparently, I saw this twice now, so it must be really important.
Gosh.
you read that, did you?
Yeah.
Scientists are categorizing the different types of plastic bread clips. You know, those little clips that go around the plastic bag that hold your bread to keep it fresh? Well, there are different kinds, and they're looking for a digestive tract safe bread clip. Like, this is a problem. People are eating these things. They accidentally fall in your sandwich, and then you go to the doctor. Oh, my stomach hurts. Well, you've swallowed another one. Oh, this one's in the... they've got different categories for these things.
Wait,
it's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Why do they... They don't need to categorize this, and I can tell them right now. One of them is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's when the bread comes in the store.
No, they have a date on there, but they're a different manufacturer of these things. Oh, it's the...
the plastic, maybe.
Octical one. No, look at the insides. They're different shapes. There's three banded. There's ones with tags on the outside. There's double-sided.
Fine, I was making a joke, man.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was being scientific. Sorry. It's all ludicrous anyway.
I do know when they use bread ties, the colors denote when the bread was delivered.
Yes, the colors sometimes, but I usually see like a date on there.
Screw the dates. I want to see colors, man.
You want to see colors, take LSD.
There's a lot of shapes here, and the ones I don't understand is the ones that have little spikes on the edges, like on the outside edges.
That's so it hurts when you swallow. I don't know.
That's the clue in.
Hey, idiot, you swallowed a plastic clip. Hey, you might want to get that checked out.
Yeah, my throat was hurting after I swallowed that sandwich. Well, no wonder.
All right, in the Geek Library, real quick, we have two things. One is NASA releases some really cool ringtones, which I thought was very nice of them.
They have
ringtones for things like actual recordings from Apollo 11's Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed, and Apollo 13's Houston, we have a problem. And even JFK's We Choose to Go to the Moon in This Decade and other things.
Hey, and each one is available for 99 cents to supplement their bottom line on the...
That's right.
They even have
the radio signals from Saturn, you know, where you go, you know, make kind of... And... Sputnik's beep. I think Sputnik's beep would be a great text messaging tone.
So, and it means something, too. Yeah.
Now, if you were a longtime listener from Technorama last week.
Yeah, from last week.
We talked about NASA's lost satellite coming down and unpredictably, and nobody knew where or when. So we threw out the challenge for people to guess when and where.
I think they're still looking for it, right?
No, the nearest approximation is off the coast of Alberta, somewhere in the Pacific.
Okay, all right.
So, many of you, we really appreciate this, many of you filled out our form on the website and responded to the tweets and whatnot, and we have some, shall we say, creative answers?
Yeah.
We are having an impact on these people.
Yeah.
Mike Hall says he's going down in the Atlantic Ocean. He said, I would guess that 80% of the satellite would burn up in reentry, but if it crashes where I guess it will, in the Atlantic, we may never know for sure. Wow, suddenly the X-Files theme went off in my head. That was cool.
I believe.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Well, at least I want to.
Mushroom cloud on impact. Homeland Security freaks out and shuts down all domestic space travel.
Domestic space travel.
Now, this is interesting because Mad Marv thinks it's going to land in the crater in Arizona from the movie Starman. Wow, that's like better than a three-pointer in basketball.
Yeah, I know. He shoots, he scores, yay! Now, that would have been something else.
And because of this, the next satellite crash will be intercepted with a net suspended between two aircraft similar to what the scene in a G.I. Joe cartoon from the 80s. Nick St. Gabriel, I think, got it closest. He thinks Alaska, Juno, if I have to be more specific, he thinks he's going to hit his own head. On 9:24 Alaska time, so that was pretty close, Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It will hit the channel, the main cruise ship line, near my house, and I will have some spectacular stories to tell my friends. Probably came close. Kevin says, my house, hopefully in the backyard, but probably in my living room. That's pretty accurate. And then he says, my insurance company will try to weasel out of paying the claim.
I'm sorry, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
You don't have that satellite rider.
Yeah, here you go. Brad Miller says, in the Indian Ocean, west of Australia, south of Singapore. Well, that's pretty good.
Nobody will see it come down. Yeah. I think my favorite is Grant Pachoco here. He says, the Pacific Ocean, below the equator, right above SpongeBob's house. Okay, north of Samoa. And his comment on the end was, duck!
Yeah.
And to that end, we have an interview with Mr. Eric Hess, who we will play right now. With us today, we have Eric Hess on the line. Eric, according to what you told us earlier, you used to provide system-level support to the telemetry control workstations for the UARS, right? The Upper Atmosphere Research Satellite?
That's exactly right, Chuck.
Now, tell us what exactly the system-level support part of that means. I think I got the rest of it.
Okay, the telemetry control workstations per Microvax workstations at the time.
Okay, we got to remember that this satellite went up 20 years ago in 1991.
Yeah, and this is the time when it was in orbit and they were actually running active experiments on it.
Now, what did the UA... is it? Can I? Do you use the acronym or is there a word like UARS or something?
UARS was the mnemonic for it.
Okay, we'll stick with that since you know what you're talking about more than I do. What was the UARS originally sent up to do?
A whole lot of stuff. I mean, I called it the flying tractor trailer.
Yeah.
It had 10 experiments on it. It was the first satellite of its type where it carried more than one or two experiments at once. And with good reason, it was looking for a lot of different data.
Okay.
This was when the global warming was really hot.
No pun intended.
The global warming was a really hot topic in the media, and they needed more data on the ground to support whatever theories were they were coming up with.
Okay. It's up there doing its research thing for how long? When was the mission officially over? Because it wasn't like last week and they said, okay, that's it. Turn off the switch and it falls down.
It was actually supposed to be up there for 3 years.
Got your money's worth.
Oh, yeah. And even when they fired the last firing in 2005, 6 of the 10 experiments were still operating.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's the way NASA engineers things.
Yeah, like the Mars rovers, you know, they're still, well, at least one of them's still kicking.
Yeah. I mean, they don't do it often, but when they do, they do it well.
You know, we've had, they seem like Chevy Chevettes.
Yeah, exactly. We've had a number of disasters, none like we saw at the Apollo that burned up on the ground. But we had a shuttle explode. We had another disintegrate yep. during reentry. We've had a number of satellites come down, too, but none... Well, that's not to say that there weren't any larger. Skylab was larger.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
But it came down on the ocean.
So
you were able to control that somewhat.
Yeah. So for what you did, what? Well, maybe can you explain a little bit further exactly what you did? Because I know you said provide telemetry and whatnot, but maybe go into that a little bit.
Okay, I was not doing any of the telemetry myself. What I was doing was keeping the workstations up and operational, so the technicians and the engineers okay. could send telemetry commands to the satellite to keep it in orbit, change its attitude, pitch and yaw, change where an experiment's pointing to, contact the other scientists that are actually running the experiments, and so forth.
So were you involved with any of the... I guess my real question here is, how did NASA not know where this thing was going to come down?
That's a good question.
Did we lose telemetry?
Well, they basically turned off everything on the satellite, so it wasn't really sending anything back. They just happened.
Okay. So it's just it's in a decaying orbit, and nobody was really tracking the when or where or how. They just said, it's going to come down in about a week.
It was up there, and it's you know, flying around, and it's going to come down sometime. We just don't know when. That's not the way things are supposed to be done, but that's often how it is.
See, I figured that they wouldn't have much trouble tracking things because they, I keep hearing that they track space debris because the IAS and like or ISS, that kind of thing. So I figured they'd be able to know pretty much where it was at, right?
Yeah, they should. The thing is, once it re-enters the atmosphere, the fireball blocks any radio signal.
Okay.
You know that from re-entry of the various capsules over the years.
Right.
Even the shuttle, for that matter.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, when they're in re-entry, they can't transmit. Well, this thing wasn't transmitting to begin with. And when it started to come down, it started to tumble. That's what actually slowed its re-entry. The tumbling action of the satellite.
Yeah. I was going to say, I did see a video. I guess it was an amateur video or something where the guy had a fix on it, and you could see it kind of tumbling. It looked like reflection of the sun or something, you know, off of it as it was turning.
Yeah.
And this was no small piece of equipment either. I mean, it's not like the size of a refrigerator. This was, like you said, a tractor trailer.
Exactly.
School bus size.
6.5 tons.
If that had hit land, that could have done some serious damage.
Well, it never would have landed intact. That much.
Oh, okay. You
know, that wouldn't come down. Even Skylab didn't come down in one piece. Coming down through the atmosphere, nothing stays together for very long. Unless it's at a very particular angle and it's got good protection.
Yeah, it has to be designed to do that.
Exactly. And satellites are not designed to come back.
I guess not.
Spacecraft, yes. Satellites, no. They're supposed to stay up there, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got a question. What is all this stuff in your mail signature? It looks like an alphanumeric encryption key or something.
Oh, jeez.
It's like SOC-USA, National Director, ICA, Safety Coordinator, and then it gets into like a vehicle identification number or something.
That's been my signature ever since I was a National Director of the Suzuki Owners Club of the United States of America.
Ah, okay.
I have 3 Suzuki motorcycles.
Okay.
They are labeled in that signature.
I see. Now it's making more sense. A 79 GS750E.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
97 VS14.
But you could say it's an encryption key or something. This is my public key.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time I was a national director, I was also the insurance coordination officer.
Okay.
That's what the ICO is.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's all.
Cool.
Well, Eric, it certainly has been a pleasure. I appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your precious time, and wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on. Continue with the great work, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, we would like one more time to thank Eric Hess for giving us that real quick short notice interview. That was great. Wednesday night, he put a comment on one of Craig's Google Plus messages, and not Wednesday night, Friday, I think it was. And then within 24 hours, we had this thing set up and locked in. So very cool that he was able to give us a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah, it was very cool. And thanks to Google Plus for facilitating the conversation.
It was not his fault.
He didn't trip over the plug and make the thing fall.
So that takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your support, and we know you like the show. There are many ways to show us your love. If you didn't like the show, you wouldn't be listening anymore, right? Well, you can call the listener line. We haven't heard from you in a long, long time. 206-222-CHAT. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, or find us on Twitter. All this stuff is on the webpage. You know where it is. You know, Mike, he posted that Twitter message and gave us some feedback that way. We'd love to hear from you. Just tag one of us. We'll be there. Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the great blog content he provides during the week. You got to keep your eye on that RSS feed. If you're not subscribed, go check it out. Craig and Kyle and I are always throwing odd bits and bytes up there. Ustream keeps our modest live streams going, well, at least for now. We ran into a few technical problems that will be cleverly edited out of this week's show. And our chat room is provided by thinstack.net. Thank you to Steve Rinkenberg and all the people over there that take care of that for us every week. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. You'll want to go and check those out at farpointmedia.com as well. You're sure to find something you enjoy. If not, call us. Let us know. And it's great. Hey, one of the best ways you can share your love is to tell a friend about Technorama. Like I said earlier, it's like the zombie apocalypse. Go tell somebody, bite them in the neck, and they'll start wandering around the same way. Until next time, a binary high five.
You're a one, I'm a one. We're all 0101.
Get out! Get out! It's not fun anymore! I want to be alone!